Welcome to the Empowered Embodiment Podcast. I am your host, Robin LaCombra. In this podcast, we explore all the feels in their full spectrum. Movements, both physical and social. Creativity, advocacy, belief systems, ambition, community care. Creating cultures of compassion where more folks feel like they truly belong. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being down to do the work. Let's do this. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Empowered Embodiment. I'm so excited to be joined by my sweet friend, Sarah Barnhart. I met Sarah when I first moved to Hamilton, and I was just looking to connect to like-minded folks, and I saw that Sarah was also a movement teacher, a yoga teacher, and a maker and creative, and by stalking her on Instagram, I'm like, yeah, I think I want to be this person's friend. And so that's how it started. And right away, our conversations got deep fast. I remember the first time Sarah and I hung out, she brought me a thing that she had made. And then we right away launched into conversations around being racialized individuals in the wellness world. And so that's what brings us here today, not only being racialized, but this idea of being in the gray, being in the middle. This is a conversation that Sarah and I touch on almost every time we see each other. I'm super, super excited to be joined by Sarah. Sarah, welcome. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm having like a little bit of like interference tech issues. So I only heard part of what you were saying, but I think that without crying, I can say thank you. I'm super, super nervous to be chatting in this way, but that is sort of my general nature as well. So here we are.
Here we are. And you know, I really love that about you is that you feel your feelings around being nervous of being anxious, and then you do the thing anyways. Like, what a wonderful model of not letting those feelings limit us to inaction, but to inspire growth through acting through it. So thank you once again for your transparency and modeling what's possible when you allow yourself to feel the nerves and then do the thing anyways. So Sarah, how about you take a moment to introduce yourself to the listeners? Like, who are you? What do you do? What do you want people to know?
Who am I? I feel like in these strange times that we're currently in, that I'm like rediscovering that on the daily. So just a little like capsule version of me, I guess. I am a Black, biracial, queer mama, maker, lover of fashion and styling, lover of home styling, anxiety manager, challenger, movement teacher, and just a human trying to make the world and my little part of it just a bit better or more tolerable or whatever sort of manageable bite that I could sort of take out of making things just a bit better.
Thank you for sharing that. I love anxiety manager. I love that so much. I think there needs to be, like, that should be what we learn in school. It's like how to manage your feelings.
Yes, I think I would have gone further, done different things in school if somebody had actually been naming and speaking to anxiety and that it can be managed and you can still do the things, you know, a long time before now where I do the things despite the fear. I would have made different choices likely or gone in different directions had somebody spoken to the fact that anxiety can be dealt with, can be part of your life, and you can still sort of do the things.
Yes. Well, thank you for saying that now, that anxiety can be part of your life and you can still do the things. How about we talk about, since we're on the topic, how about we dive deeper into that a little bit? Like so you gracefully shared all the ways that you identify being biracial, being queer, being biracial queer mother, being biracial queer movement instructor, yoga instructor. How have these elements of your identity either contributed, informed your anxiety?
They have actually like both increased and decreased my anxiety. I think the fact that I don't look like I fit in any of the places that, not that I think being biracial, being mixed race, or being queer have a look. I don't think that, I don't believe that. But at the same time saying that, I'm not sure if when I'm in places and spaces, people believe me. So I feel like that increases the anxiety. But then being in places and showing up as all of who I am decreases my anxiety because I am being seen more fully. And I don't think for a long time that was my truth. So, and I have to say that you and the space that you create and the community that you create is huge, excuse me, in creating that environment where I have for the first time felt seen and heard as all of me.
Thank you for saying that. And it's an honor to be able to create spaces where people feel empowered to show up fully as themselves. So before meeting and before Good Body Feel existed, what do you feel was standing in your way to show up fully as yourself, as biracial, as queer?
It was almost like I felt that people didn't believe me. I feel like I don't feel like I was ever in the closet. I feel like I have identified, excuse me, as queer for like my whole life since I was a child. I don't think I was ever in the closet so much, but people, when I just spoke sort of freely about being queer, being fluid was sort of my past language around it. I think people just thought I was just trying it on or were expecting like a bigger kind of coming out situation and didn't take just my casual regular conversation about my fluidity as a valid point of queerness. So I found that really interesting. And then just being white presenting, like I'm forever explaining myself like, well, my mom is black and my grandfather's from Jamaica and like this whole big thing all the time instead of just sort of being like seen. I feel like there's always an explanation that I need to like toe along with me that like about who and I am in the world and where I'm allowed to exist.
Yeah, like you have to prove your blackness and prove your queerness.
Like over and over and over again.
Sounds exhausting.
I am exhausted. I am exhausted. And at the same time, like, why do I have to prove any of that? I don't have to. And then I have to at the same time. So that's confusing and exhausting to personally also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for saying that. I think that's something that folks who are very, like, who visibly present away take for granted. Like, if you visibly present as racialized in a, like, obvious way, or if you are, if you visibly present as whatever obviously queer is, I'm doing air quotes, which no one can see because this is a podcast. But I guess we take that for granted, right? That we don't have to prove that we are racialized. We don't have to prove that we're this or that. And that's privilege when you don't have to prove that you are who you are. And that's something that I love getting to know you is this conversation around when you're in the gray and when you exist in the spectrum and you're not on either end of the extreme of the spectrum, there's so much that people take for granted about being in the middle. So thank you for uplifting that, the exhaustion of having to prove that you are valid in the way that you exist just as you are.
Yeah. I also feel like being white presenting or light skin privilege is a thing. And I feel like it is for me, a privilege and at the same time, sort of my greatest shame, which is a weighty emotion and an exhausting emotion to carry. And I feel like light skin privilege is something that needs to be discussed. I think colorism is real. I think that the voices of dark skinned Black women in particular, Black people need to be uplifted. And I feel that the privilege of I am in is that sometimes I have the ear of folks who wouldn't necessarily be in rooms or at the table with other Black folks. So I take that privilege to speak up as much as I can and amplify as much as I can. And I have no idea if I'm doing it right or wrong. I'm sure that somebody will tell me if I'm doing it wrong and I will take that information and learn from that. But I feel like it's like my job to be in places and spaces and uplift and amplify and speak on the things that people may not be hearing in other places in their lives. But because I've sort of ended up in these white circles that I have a real important job to do in order to assist in whatever way I can in changing the climate of things.
Yes. Yeah, you are a bridge.
Yeah.
Where you have access to both worlds. That's one of the gifts of being in the gray, is that you can see both sides, or you have access to both sides. And that's incredible that you've reached a point, rather than feeling that your experience is invalid or you can't speak up about certain things because you might not feel enough of this, like, I'm not Black enough or I'm not queer enough, and switching that narrative to, okay, how do I resource this passing privilege so that I can amplify the voices that often go unheard, because they don't have passing privilege or whatever that is. What made that switch for you?
A few things. Raising a Black boy helped with that. Like, there's no space for me to let the quiet racism that I have experienced throughout my life in white spaces continue sort of around us. So I really felt a need to start speaking up so that he would know to speak up, and so that he would know how you know, how he should be treated in the world, despite how people are being treated in the world, like how, just so that he would have the bravery maybe, to like stand up and show up when things happen in his world. And also just that, just this current climate. And I don't know if it's like if it was being trapped at home. I don't know if it was like realizing that uncomfortable conversations were happening, just like even with family and people close to me. I just felt like I just like couldn't, like I couldn't just sit in my white presenting privilege bubble at all anymore. And I don't think I was ever only there, but I could have just stayed there and all of these things could be happening, and I could be ignoring them, which is impossible for me to do. So I think just a combination of things kind of led me to like have to, like I can't not speak up, I have to.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. And for, was there a time that you were silent or not speaking up? And if yes, because I feel like maybe there are folks that are listening that are also mixed or have passing privilege, and avoid uncomfortable conversations because they're uncomfortable. And, you know, knowing you for a number of years, and witnessing the like increasing conviction in the way that you show up truly authentically as yourself, what was the cost of not truly showing up as your authentic self, like owning all parts of yourself? What was the cost of silence, or what was the cost of staying in the comfort bubble?
Major, major mental health issues. Like, I think that a lot of my, anxiety stems from there. A real feeling of not enoughness, which is like, it like eats away at you to feel like you are never, ever, ever enough anywhere at all. So that's been a huge cost. And for sure, there was times that I was silent. For sure, I've been in situations where, you know, people are saying all kinds of horrible things, and I haven't stood up and said anything. For sure, I've been the butt of jokes that I...
Oh no, you cut out.
Yes, I was the butt of jokes, that I remember in high school. And I didn't have the courage to stand up and say that that was wrong. And I had a couple of friends reach out just in the last little while and apologize for things that were said in the past, you know, in the, like, that we all laughed at and thought were funny. And then really knowing now that there's like absolutely nothing funny about it at all. And those apologies lifted something for me that, I didn't realize had been so heavy for so long. And I think that those apologies and that time and that moment also helped to like propel me forward more. It's like this weight was gone, so I was able to sort of take on more and keep moving forward and speaking up, and using my own voice to, you know, do whatever small thing I can do. Yeah, I think that staying silent for a long time and being in that position to be the butt of jokes really did a number on me. And I think I'm starting to shed some of that now. And it's just allowing me to step more fully into who I am, even though that not enough gremlin is really loud. I have to, like, it's almost like I have to have two conversations about everything I'm doing. Like, you know, whatever the gremlin voice is, I have to sort of have a conversation with it to quiet it and then move forward into what I'm doing. And I think that that's sort of the anxiety of all of the not enoughness for so long, kind of sticking around, but I feel like it's really important for me to keep moving past it.
Mm-hmm. So what are some tools that you can share for moving past the not enoughness? Like, what is your strategy? Because I know that so many of us can relate to this feeling of not being enough.
It really is like I'm having, like, I have to have all of the conversations with, like, all levels of myself, like higher and lower self, and this sort of in the middle being. And it is almost like a conscious conversation where I have to, like, tell myself that whatever loud, mean nonsense is happening with my, like, gremlin or brain bully, that that's not fact, that that's not based in any fact. And then I just keep doing the things. Like, it's not even, so much like I use tools that I have, like meditation or breathing or any of those things. It's like really, it was really my biggest takeaway from somatic soul coaching, actually, to like have those conversations, look at my, my little post-it that I have on my wall that says, I will be okay here. And that okay is an okay and perfect place to be. I'm not necessarily looking for, like, I'm going to be great here, but I'm definitely not going to be horrible here. I will be okay here. And reminding myself of that, you know, as often as I need to, which is multiple times a day as I do anything at all, really.
Yeah, thank you for that. That neutrality is the goal, is a perfect goal. I feel like if you're open to it, it could be good to explore what your brain bully says, or what are the jokes that were horrible, and that people just laughed at. Cause I feel like maybe those are things that many people say to themselves, or joke with their friends thinking that they're connecting. Whereas really what's happening is they're adding load onto the person that they now have to carry. Are you comfortable with being transparent around messages that your brain bully tries to drill into you, or the jokes that people said that you laughed off, haha, but then ended up carrying that weight with you?
So some, like, I remember things like, you know, it's dark outside. Can you hold your hands up? Cause we can't see you. Like on the outside, my containers, same color as their container. So it didn't make sense to me. Like I didn't understand how that was funny. Like, smile, we can't see you.
Wow. Sarah, really?
Yeah. Like, it didn't make any sense at all. Like, my brain couldn't process what they were saying, because I was like, how, I don't, first of all, it's awful. And second of all, it doesn't even make any sense in this context. There were other things those are, like, kind of top of mind, right now. And then my brain bully at the same time telling me I'm not enough, because I'm not black enough. I'm not black enough, and I'm not, like, queer enough, and I'm also not white enough, and I'm also not, you know, nice enough, and I'm also not smart enough, and I'm, you know, all of those things. Kind of all the time. Yeah.
And so what do you say to your brain bully when it tries to convince you that you are not marginalized enough or that you're not privileged enough.
I will be okay here. It also tells me that my presence in spaces is offensive to the people who are there, like teaching QT NB moves, and also teaching melanated moves, all of the name changes. But teaching those classes, every time I took that seat, my first thought was my presence here is offending people because of my container. Even though there's nothing I can do about the way that my genetics present, the way that my genetics present is offensive because I don't belong here. Even though, and then I'd have to say, even though you do belong here because your genetics allow you to be in these spaces because you are not white and you are not straight. So every single time I took that seat, I had to have that conversation. That's a really, really tough place to teach a class from. And I don't think that that my brain allowed me to step into my full full capacity as a teacher, or a teacher as I had known myself to be in the past, because there was that conversation was happening in the background all the time. Like, people are not coming because they don't see themselves represented. Like, the class is there to see yourself represented, but people don't see themselves represented in me. But I see myself represented in them. So it was so healing for me, and the opposite at the same time, for me to take that seat, because I was seen, because I felt like I was seen as all of me on one hand, but part of that was that I was seeing myself for the first time. Like, so many places that I'd been in forever had been white spaces, predominantly straight spaces. And I was always scanning, looking for other people of color, other people who may identify in the same or similar ways to me. And in those classes and at Good Body Feel in general, I never felt that need for scanning. And there was something so healing in that. So it's really divided, the feelings that I had, like super, super healing. And then also like, but you don't belong here. So I have to quiet, I had to quiet that all the time.
Yeah. This notion of belonging is so strong. And it sounds like, I mean, what you shared with, about your experience being teased. So, you know, you're not white enough to not get those jokes told to you. And then you're not allowed in that space, or quote unquote, you don't get away with it in that space. You don't get away with being yourself in that space. And then on the flip side of entering queer only spaces or racialized only spaces, feeling that, my container might be offensive here. So what a tricky, tricky place to be, where your container feels othered in all of the spaces. Yeah, so I'm just acknowledging that that's a really hard thing, and I'm sure you're not alone in that, and I'm sure there are many mixed folks or folks who aren't queer presenting, or folk, whatever queer presenting means, or folks who are fluid, that this comes up for them too, this like, my container fails me in all of these spaces. But what a beautiful thing that you've done is that that healing of I am okay here, of then bridging and using your voice to amplify others and using the exclusive spaces to heal yourself regardless of how you present and chatting with your internalized brain bully that says that your container is offensive. So I just want to name and acknowledge how hard that is and name and celebrate how gracefully you've been engaged in your healing process and showing up anyways. So I want to pick up on one of the things that you said where you're like, they in the exclusive spaces, like the BIPOC or melanated exclusive spaces and the queer exclusive spaces, where the concern was they don't see themselves in you. So your students don't necessarily see themselves in you, but you see yourselves in your students. I feel like this is a good segue into the thing that the community you're creating with your new Instagram account, Mixed in Hamilton. Do you want to speak on that the representation of being in the middle?
Yeah, that was terrifying to create. And I'd been sitting with that for a really, really long time, like a really long time, years, actually. I had a reading with a friend of mine years ago, and she said, like, your purpose here is to heal your maternal line. So that's all of our mix is on my mom's side. And speak to all of these things that we're talking about are things that I had talked about with my friend who did this reading as well. So I'd been sitting with it forever, like how can I create community? And is that okay to create community? I thought I was all alone forever. I really did think that I was the only, that's a really messed up thing to think and feel that you were the only person experiencing something, because the world is huge. Of course, I'm not like, of course, consciously, I know I'm not the only person, but I really did think that. So scary to create, but super necessary to create this Mixed in Hamilton community. I don't know where it will go, but I do know that right now it is growing, and I've received so many messages from people who said the same thing. I thought I was alone. I thought I was the only person who felt this way. So it's been really, really incredible, and also really incredible to have mixed folks share their personal story and experience with being mixed. And there's a common thread that weaves through all of them, that sort of feeling of not enoughness, that feeling of being alone, that feeling of not knowing where you fit, is a common thread that weaves through each story that I've received so far. I'm incredibly honored to be able to share people's stories. So if there's anyone that wants to share their story, you can get in touch with me at Mixed in Hamilton. And we are planning an in-person, Zoom in-person meetup so that we can kind of continue the conversation as a group, sort of creating our own container where we can see ourselves represented in our mixedness. So that has also been, like, this has been incredibly healing for me and also for my family. My mom shared her story. My brother shared his story, and I didn't know any of what my brother said until he sent it to me. I didn't know that he had experienced any of that. So that's been challenging in our family too, is that, like, we didn't talk about it. Like, we didn't talk about it. And like, I love my parents more than anything in the world, but like, they just loved each other, and they have kids and they love their kids. And, you know, colorblindness was a thing in our family for sure. And meant with the best of intentions, you know,
of course,
but yeah. Intention versus impact is a thing. And it's real there in that situation as well. So yeah, we just never talked about it. And now we do. And you know, sometimes that's met with kind of compassion, and sometimes it's met with resistance, but we are talking about it, and it is like an important part of our family conversations now, which is also really healing.
Wow, that is so incredible. And it really speaks to the necessity and the power of transparency and the limitation and the challenge and the weight of silence. Like your own, from in within your own family, experiences were happening, like you and your brother were having similar isolating experiences, and then not talking about it with each other kept feeding that notion or that sense of being alone and not belonging, being the only one and being isolated. Meanwhile, the entire time there were experiences that could have been bonding moments and healing moments for the two of you, realizing that you're not alone. I just think that's so incredible, that the power of conversation, the power of radical transparency, the power of speaking what you're feeling and not holding that, because you don't have to hold the feelings by yourself. The creating of Mixed in Hamilton, your Instagram account, is incredible because of, well, we always say that representation is everything, right? Like when you can see yourself in somebody else, in your leaders, in media, how affirming that is. And exclusive spaces for safer spaces or healing spaces, right? So I think it's amazing that you're creating a safe container for mixed folks to show up fully as themselves and not feel like they're not this enough or not that enough, but they are like perfectly as they are, valid in their experience and in their mixedness. I imagine it's the same thing for folks who are pansexual or bisexual, of like not feeling like they're gay enough or they're straight enough. And I've been in the room with a really good friend of mine where like we were having a conversation with another friend who is gay, and that friend didn't know that our other friend was bisexual. And so he went off to say how he thinks like bisexuality is a phase, or that they don't know yet and they should just make up their mind. And then I was like, oh, well, you know, this person in the room with us is bisexual. And how do you think this person feels with you saying that? And then obviously our friend like backpedaled and apologized and whatever. But it's amazing what is said when we don't know who's in the room, right?
And so absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
And so when we create a room for where we're naming who's in the room, then the healing can take place. But I feel like you wanted to jump in there. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I just wanted to agree with you that people say all kinds of things when they don't know who's in the room. That is very, very true and very scary, really. Like you know, to sort of see a side of people that you didn't expect was there because they think they're in their own company. That's a dangerous place, and it happens a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's important for people to know, because maybe, you know, I think, maybe not so much anymore now that we're still in this pandemic and so much is coming to surface, around the harmful systems that have been in place, but definitely pre-COVID, I feel like there's this sense that we live in a post-racial society, or that, you know, that queer justice isn't a necessary thing to continue fighting for, because we're in this like liberal world, which we very much are not. And I think people need to wake up to that. We're not in a post-racial or liberal world, and our actions, all of our actions, are fed with these unconscious biases of internalized harm that we've inherited.
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone. All the time.
Everyone all the time. Yes, even you. Yes, even me.
Yes. Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So to round off, what do you wish to share to folks that feel like they're in the gray or they're in the middle? What are things that you want to share with them?
That you are not alone there, even if it feels like you are alone there, and that your feelings and experiences are valid. So I'm talking to myself as well. Mm-hmm. My feelings and experiences are valid. Your feelings and experiences are valid. You are enough as who you are and how you show up in the world. You're enough. And that safer spaces for you to exist and explore these gray areas and all of these spaces in the middle exist as well. And I have a feeling that the more awareness there is around the middle and the gray area, the more spaces and places will start to open up and exist for people. So you will be okay here.
And do you have any words for folks who aren't in the middle? They're on either end of the spectrum. How can they show up more compassionately for folks in the middle?
Honestly, I don't know if I've ever thought about it, because I think I spend so much time in the middle thinking, how can I compassionately show up for the people on either end of the spectrum? That the people in the middle are allowed to exist in the middle. Like, everything is on a spectrum, so it's totally cool if you're on one end or the other end of the spectrum, but it doesn't mean that the people on one end or the other end or the people in the middle are less valid with their lived experience.
Mm-hmm.
So just remembering that, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
So I love to end these sessions with like a closing pulse check or closing cleansing breaths. And I forgot to ask you before we started, but would you be open to leading us through a little closing guided cleansing so that we can integrate all of the beautiful shares that you offered up in this conversation, and that we can transition into the rest of our day?
Yes. Lives. Yeah. Yes, I would be. My cat's having some issues.
The cat can audibly contribute as well.
The cat is doing that currently, so maybe it'll help him. he's not anywhere I can reach him. I can just hear him. Okay, it's distracting. I feel like that's like proof of like how things exist in the world, trying to like think around, talk around, breathe around, chill out around all of the chaos
all the time.
So like, just like I arrived running and panicked, we'll just end in a similar way. It's just very true of my life experience. So with that being said, just take a pause where you are. If you're seated, maybe taking a moment to notice the seat beneath you, ground your feet. If you're standing, if you've been just kind of doing your thing and listening, notice your feet where you are, get grounded, pause. Just give yourself a moment to scan through your being as it is in this moment. Maybe your eyes gently close if that's comfortable for you, or soft focus. And just taking a moment to notice what you notice. Notice where you're at. Notice how you're feeling in your physical being, your emotional being, following this conversation. Notice your breath as it is in this moment without changing anything about it just yet. Just allow yourself to notice how you've been carrying your breath in your body through this last period of time. No right, no wrong, no judgment, just observation. And then begin to take in a deeper breath. Full deep inhale breath, send that breath all the way down to the bottom of your lungs. Allow your belly to expand. Allow yourself to get just a little bit taller, a little bit bigger with your inhale breath. And then exhale, let it go. Notice the collapse. Notice as you fall back in towards yourself with your exhale breath. Inhale, full breath in. This time, stay a little bigger, a little bit more expansive, and maybe finding a real audible exhale. Noticing the space that you've created with your inhale, allowing it to remain there, even with the natural contraction of your exhale breath. And then taking one more full breath together, get a little bigger, a bit more expansive, full deep breath in. And an audible exhale, let it go. Taking just another moment to again scan through. Notice where you're at. Recognizing any shifts or changes in your physical being, in your emotional being, after taking a moment to connect back to yourself with your breath. And then if you have found your eyes closed, gently opening them, returning to the space around you. Maybe going back about what you were doing before you took a moment to pause and ground. Just returning back to your space and what you have to do with the rest of your day.
Thank you, sweet friend.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for hearing me. Thank you for seeing me. I love you so very, very much.
Sarah, I love you so very much too. And I love learning and growing alongside you. It really is such an honor to share this phase of our life together.
It truly, truly is. Thank you.
So folks, if you want to stay in contact with Sarah, check out their Instagram handle at Mixed in Hamilton, as well as at Sarah Barnhart Things. And they are co-leading our relaunch of QTNB Moves, which is Queer Trans Non-Binary Moves, co-teaching with Claren Dean this Friday at 7. And rumor has it that there might be some live music meditation going on. Is this a true rumor?
It may be a true rumor.
I love this, the further stoking of the rumor. It might still just be a rumor.
Depends on the tech.
true. Good. Good flagging of that. So thank you so much for everyone that's listening. Stay in the know with all of the beautiful things Sarah's up to, the things they make, the classes they lead, the conversations they host. Again, if you want to get in contact with me, I'm at royolaroyola.com, R-O-Y-O-L-A, that twice, dot www.empoweredempowerwomen.com. And thank you for listening. And we'll catch you on the next one. Big love, Sarah. And big love to everyone listening.
Thank you.
All right. Goodbye, everybody. Bye.